Gameforge is in the hunt, season 4. Retooled, rearmed with more knowledge to help you reach your performance goals and your next level. In the hunt, members, mount up. It's time for the hunt. Hey, this is Brian Bailey here with In the Hunt, season 4. That's right. You guys are glutton for punishment. We're back to give you more. How about that? So I'm excited to bring you our new installment for 2023. As always, we have Mark Sweeney in the house. We're just coming off the PGA show, or I guess technically PGA just started, but we did a bunch of stuff in Florida. Some of the boys are still down there, but Mark, how's everything going, and how are you enjoying all the teaching pros down in Orlando?
Well, my week ends the same time the PGA show starts, basically, because we do all our seminars leading up to the show, and then we finally let down today when the actual show itself starts. So I guess we got to drag ourselves over there at some point and walk around and look at the stuff and talk to people. But it's it's fun having a lot of friends in town, that's for sure.
That's right. And then we have two special guests that are across the pond enjoying America. Took them to Bass Pro the other day. They had a blast. First off, we'll start with Gareth McShay from Ireland. Gareth, how are you and what's going on?
Ryan, very interesting time for me standing in a shop with guns in my hand and an Englishman beside me.
Tempting. It was a very tempting time for him.
Quite a dilemma.
Love being over here. I'll catch up with you.
And then, of course,
we'll do my best to spend as little time as possible.
All right. And of course, last but not least, Jamie Donaldson from the UK. Jamie, how are you? It's been a while since we've talked to you inside the hut.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's glad to be back. It's certainly an interesting time down in Florida. Bass Pro Shops is always a place I like to go and visit when we're here. And there's certainly nothing like that in the UK. So quite a selection of weapons you can buy there. Unfortunately, we didn't bring any away with us. Still figuring out how I can get one back.
That's well, keep working on that. If you figure it out, I think there's a real market for that.
Yeah.
But just be careful. So on today's episode, we're going to kind of mirror the series that we're doing inside of Fuel. We're going to talk about breaking 100. What does that take as a coach and an athlete? If you're newer to the game, or maybe you've been playing this game for 30 years and you're like, gosh, I would just like to break 100 once. What does that take? This episode is for you. So inside of Gameforge, we always talk performance first. What does it take to reach a certain number? And what we're going to talk about in this episode is kind of what we always talk about for newer players is shots to green. How fast physically can I go from a tee box to get the ball on the green? And then basically putts on green, total putts. How fast can I get the heck off the green? And again, those two simple stats are really all you need to track for statistically for coaches and players to really paint a picture on how to get better or how to actually break 100. So Mark Sweeney, you want to dive into shots to green and kind of define that, or do you want to do total putts and what that touches? And then we'll ask one of our other guests to expand on the other.
Sure, I'll do total putts. Total putts, I mean, it's obviously an easy stat. What most people don't understand about total putts is it's not just a putting stat. It's also a ball striking and approach stat. So how close you hit it on approach or how close you hit it after you miss the green or scrambling will contribute to your total putts number. People generally don't love the stat, but it's actually a very, very good stat. And I listened to your interview with Chris George, where I think at breaking 100, you basically need 37 putts. You can do a 37 putts, which means you can two putt everything and get a three putt in there also and break 100. So nothing spectacular necessary, you know, to have 37 putts unless your speed is just horrific, you know. So that's mostly speed training.
And I think what's funny again about total putts is for us as a platform, Gameforge, total putts is actually the number one predictor of predicting score. Again, it's the, I guess, the redheaded stepchild of all stats. It's been beat up over many a years. We'll call it Harry. And so basically, sorry, but it really is that stat that gives you tons of information. However, it's just not very smart. No, again, that's another Harry reference. Sorry, I take all that back. Sorry, England. No, England loves that. Sorry,
other state children are available.
Sorry, we have Jamie with us. We just can't stop not giving him a hard time about the shenanigans going on.
The other little thing I'll drop in there about total putts is that it actually has a higher correlation to a score than strokes gained putting does, which a lot of people might find a little bit surprising, but it actually does.
Then strokes, exactly.
I think that's for what it's worth.
That will be elaborated upon in the future.
At some point, yes.
That'll be a future video. Sure. So just to kill the definitions off, Gareth, I'll give you shots to green, kind of what components make that up, and then we'll say, hey, player, here's how we can start using these stats to get better. So shots to green, Gareth, break it down.
It is very literal. It is how many shots does it take you to get onto the putting surface? So at what point do you have a putt in your hand? Is it taking you 3 shots to get to the green? Is it taking you 4 shots? Is it taking you 2 shots? We just want to know how quickly you're getting on the putting surface so that we can use that number to help you change your performance levels or help you understand what you need to do to get your next performance level. The guy or the gal who's trying to break 100, we want that number around about 60. So if they've got 60, 61 shots per green, 37, 38 putts, they're shooting 90, 98, 99, we have done our job.
We have done our job. So, I think this is an interesting way of looking at performance, because I think we as an industry don't really give players a great guide of, like, if your goal is to break 100, we have basically how many shots of the green? 60, give or take. And we have 37, 38 putts, 60, 61 shots. If we can manage those two skill sets, it's very easy to break 100, which we'll also talk about targeting. So, Jamie, how do you think understanding those two components can change maybe a game plan or a targeting skill sets for higher handicappers?
Well, when you look at the stats, the players will have a birdie putt inside 8 feet one every other round, and they will make 1 in 5 attempts at that. So I don't necessarily think it's actually a case of hitting it closer. I think from memory, they have about 2.5 birdie chances from 20 feet and in. So not making mistakes off the tee would take your penalties out of it. Getting it on or around the green would be paramount. Not trying to hit any amazing shots, because they're not going to gain from hitting another shot inside 8 feet, because a birdie will happen, you know, 1 in 5 chances, maybe 1 in 10 rounds. But getting on the green and maybe taking the pressure off the long putt, so not feeling that they always have to get it as close as they can. So maybe not taking the route which brings a bunker into play, or risking water or a really nasty runoff. So for me, it's getting comfortable enough that you can leave a long putt, control your speed, and read well enough to finish close.
No, I like that. And I think really, if you think about it, to break 100, I can give you 1.5 extra shots per hole. And if you average 1.5 extra shots per hole, you will shoot 99. So what does that mean? Par fours become par fives. Par fives become par 6.5s. Par threes are 4.5s. So if you can come up with a game plan, again, kind of like,
yeah. You start that again because you broke up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So 1.5, I can give you 1.5 extra shots per hole and you'll break 100. So par threes become 4.5s. Par fives become 6.5s. Par fours become 5.5s. So if you can actually come up with a game plan and say, I have 1.5 extra shots, maybe I need to apply it on this hole. Maybe I need to apply 2 and I don't need one on a future hole. Or if I do something spectacular, I can start to bank some things. But again, if you come up with a game plan more about, can I position myself with 1.5 extra shots? And maybe, again, not to hit a driver off the tee box if I can't control a driver, or maybe laying up short of a green because if I hit it anywhere else, I'm in trouble. But come up and have that understanding of what it takes with 1.5 extra shots. It's very easy, I guess, kind of position yourself and come up with a game plan to do that. I think most players don't have the skill set, and we'll talk about dispersions here in a second, Mark, don't have that skill set. So they're trying to act like Rory, you know, they're trying to get to the green in 2 or par fives in 2 or whatever, hit it in some god-awful places, where again, if they just said, hey, here's my skill level, here's what how I can perform. My goal is to break 100. So let's just figure out how I can position myself around the golf course different. And I think a big part of that is their ability to control the golf ball off the tee. And I know let Mark talk on dispersions real quick. From what GameForge tells us, the average dispersion for a high handicapper is 25 plus out in the 100 range. 90s, you're getting in the 20 percentile. So kind of how does dispersions work, and kind of a way to think about that on the golf course as well as in training, Mark, about being able to learn to control the golf ball?
Yeah, so we'll back up one step to, let's say, 60 shots to green on 18 holes. That's 30 shots to green on 9 holes, which basically says you got 3 shots on average to get to every green, right? So they're not going to get to the par 5s in 3, but they can get to the par 3s in 3 generally. So what kills you on that is penalties off the tee.
Yeah.
Because you're on par 4, you hit an OB, you drop again, you hit again, you're already hitting 3, right? But you need to beat the green in 3. So on a 25% dispersion off the tee, if a high handicap sitting, let's say 200 yards, has a 40-yard dispersion left or right, it's in the tree, it's OB, it's, you know, that's your average dispersion. Then you have dispersions up to 50, 60 yards, obviously. So really kind of controlling, trying to control your tee shots to stay out of big trouble, because that's what blows your ability to get on the green in 3 shots. Basically, we're talking about your par 4s. You got 3 shots to get on the green in par 4s. So you can bunt it down the green 3 times and get on the green in 3 and 2 putt for bogey, and you've done your job to break 100.
Very much so. And then, you know, kind of part of this is the mentality of doing this. It's not what the golf magazines say. It's not what I see on TV. So, Gareth, what kind of pressures do you see as an athlete standing on the team and saying, this is what I need to do to shoot a number, but everybody's watching me and I don't want to look like something else? Putting coach, now an elite putting coach with some of the world's best. Think back to your old days and kind of how you used to teach higher handicappers and you know, people trying to break 100, and what you did then to what you know now. How would you critique yourself back in the day?
I think we're always trying to fix a problem, like a swing shape or a slice or a particular habit. And I think you've got to learn to play with what you've got to start with, because you don't have to hit worldly golf shots to get under the 100 mark. It'll be just managing the way you play, deal with the issues you have, you know, staying well away from trouble, which I know sounds obvious, but if there's a bunker on the right edge of the fairway, the player naturally will sort of just aim slightly left of it, and they could hit it way, way left. And maybe it's ego. Maybe the fact that the middle of the fairway is what you've got to aim at, and they've just got to try and hit that 1 in 100 great shot when they could aim a long way in an opposite direction to travel and play it.
It's
like an ego-driven thing of, I'm trying to hit it down the middle of the fairway, so that's what I've got to set up to try and do.
I think, Brian, the thing that amateurs maybe don't know, because they don't collect data as well as we would like them to for their own benefit, is you're going to pull that tee shot off 1 in 20 times, but the other 19 is rent your scorecard. You know, you're putting a snowman in your card. You can't recover from that if you're putting 8s and 10s in the card, because as Jamie says, you're trying to hit this perfect golf shot. Hit your 7 wood into play, hit another 7 wood, chip in the green, you're on the green in 3 shots. 2 putt, you get another 5, right?
And practicing out of horrible lies and rough and trying to hit those shots that will get them out of trouble and not make a compound error of leaving the ball in the rough. Or, you know, once you hit a dreadful shot, you know, people tense up, they tighten up, they panic, and they try and make the next shot way above what they're capable of to try and recuperate. So I guess psychologically it's dealing with that bad shot and being able to reset and then and play again.
Yeah, I think it's they hit the panic button because they did a bad shot. Oh my God, my swing is broken out. No, you've missed. And you know, we watch tennis players miss the court. We watch, I think, a soccer player for England missed a penalty recently in a big enough event.
It's fine. Spurs player.
As well.
We missed that one, Brian.
That's fine though. And place for Tottenham. So. But,
you know, what is this penalty shot thing? I don't even know what that is. Is that hockey?
LeBron misses a lot of baskets. That's fine.
Yeah.
He gets quite a few baskets, but he misses a lot.
Hits a few sometimes.
All right. So kind of we have an interview series coming up, but before we dive into that, kind of close this out. So, okay, I'm a 100 player. I've just figured out I've never really thought my way around a golf course. I need to come up with a game plan. Stay away from trouble. You know, I got 3 shots to every green, 1.5 shots, however I want to look at that. So what would be 1 or 2 pieces of advice that you gentlemen would have kind of in training, kind of leading into that? How can I set up training to prepare me to go try to do this on the golf course? So I will open this up to all three and don't jump in at one time.
Well, I'll start then, because mine's simple. I don't want someone else to say it. It would be... because I'll have nothing else. It's going to be practicing those 30, 40, 50 foot putts. It's all about speed at that distance. You know, you're not going to, you shouldn't misread by such a massive amount that a great speed won't do you any good. So a reasonable read, preferably using aim point, then you won't get it wrong, but speed control. And one of the drills I like to do with my, with a emerging player, let's say, would be to give them long 2 putts, and they've got to string 6 together, because what you'll see is maybe after 2 or 3, they start to break down and their speed starts to suffer because it's a pressure environment. And when they do miss it or miss the second putt, we go back to 0. So they're trying to make 6 good 2 putts in a row to get some competency. Obviously, speed training is where we teach them how to change stroke length and forward times to be good at that. But I would say from a putting standpoint, learn to 2 putts, learn to do it under pressure. Though you shouldn't be wasting your time at 10 foot trying to hold putts, because it's not really the one putt where the wind comes here. It's the anti-3 putt. And I think an 18 handicap or a 90 shooter, 100 shooter will 3 putt about 3 times around. So there could be your 3 easy shots to not lose.
Nice. Gareth, what would your opining on this be?
Brian, I'll go back to saying learn to play the game of golf and strokes. I think a great way of doing that, I do this a lot with players, is 3 holes. You know, your target score is roughly 16, 17. If you get it under 17, you break it 100. But what we do is if they get off course dramatically, we'll drop a second ball and say, deal with the situation differently. So they're learning to play the game a little bit differently and take different decisions or make different shot selections, etc. The number one thing I can tell everybody who's listening to this is anybody who's got good at golf has spent time at a golf course on their own. And that means go out, play your 3 holes on your own. You don't need to have buddies with you. You're trying to figure something out here. Your attention should be on figuring out how to break, you know, 17 of these 3 holes or 16. So do it. Go and play first thing in the morning. Go play 3 holes last thing at night. And be pretty strict in yourself, penalties count, all of that. But you learn to play the game and you will start to make better decisions. You will also start to become more resilient, because when the moment comes, you got that scorecard in your hand and you have 3 holes left and you're going, I'm on track here to break 100. when you've been there before, you know how to get it done, and that really helps that player in the long run.
Nice. And Mark, with a same kind of advice, and if you want to throw any GameForge data to help enlighten players where to work, maybe feel free.
Well, I've done a number of events where I watch and help players who are shooting well above 100. And the number one thing I see is they just can't get the ball in the air and advance the ball down the course. You know, they're topping and chunking and topping and chunking. It's hard to get to the green in three shots if you just have such inconsistency where you literally just can't advance the ball. You know, so obviously a big part of learning how to get the ball to green in three shots on average is you got to be able to advance it a certain distance and keep it roughly in play. How you do that, how you train that on the range, you know, when you get on the range, obviously it's very different when you've got perfect lies and perfect conditions than when you're on the golf course. But that's, you know, you've got to try to get rid of, you've got to get rid of the penalties or a large number of the penalties, because that just destroys the hole immediately right there. If you get more than, I don't know how many, but if you get too many of those, you're done as far as breaking 100. And the rest of the lawyers just advance the ball. You know, and a lot of people think they got to make a miracle shot out of the rough to hit the green too. Well, it's not going to happen. So advance it down the fairway somewhere.
No, I agree. And I think kind of what Gareth said, playing on the golf course is ideal. You learn more by playing than actually anything. But if you are stuck on a range, and that's maybe my only, you know, I don't have a course to go play, things along that lines, you can simulate rounds on the actual range, right? Hit my tee shot between X and Y. Is it in the fairway? Is it not? What would my next shot look like? Or what would my next two shots to get to the par four look like? And then kind of simulate that on the range in a worst case scenario. And then the beauty of that too is you can set up obstacles. You can train the mind to say, well, now I'm behind a tree, what would I do? And kind of create that on the range as well. Just don't say, you know, yes, I missed the fairway, but I still have a great shot in the green. Well, maybe I need to punch it left. And now what does that do for my next shot coming up? So again, trying to reenact on the range works quite well. And then also you can take part of that. And if there's a putting green, chipping green near it, you can kind of wander between the three. And basically, you know, depending on the distance between them, you could actually hit a shot or two on the range and go over the putting, chipping green, chip, putt, and then come back. Again, simulating what that's like. Because again, most range warriors get on the range and they go through 100 golf balls in 17 minutes. And what did they learn? That they can hit 100 golf balls in 17 minutes. So I think a lot of that in training is trying to simulate what golf feels like and looks like is a big benefit. Kind of here in GameForge and in the hunt, we're kind of trying to bring context to every conversation we have. So I was able to catch up with Chris George, who is a GameForge coach. Performance coach now, really, really smart guy out of Williamsburg, Virginia at King's Mill. And I was fortunate enough he gave me about 15 minutes of his time. So let's roll the tape and hear what Chris has to say. It's time to enjoy In the Hunt conversation, because context matters. We've been talking with the guys about breaking 100 and kind of the implications of what that is. So first thing I'm going to do is bring in Chris George, who is our guest today. Chris, how are you doing?
I am fantastic, Brian. How are you?
Very good. Can you give me a little bit of insight? Just give me a little background on you. You might be a new voice for some people listening.
Sure. I am the director of instruction at Kings Mill Resort in Williamsburg, Virginia. I've been there for 22 years and teach all aspects of the game, specifically with a focus on short game and putting.
Awesome. Awesome. So you're going to be provide some good insight here. So I actually had set up an interview, and Chris doesn't know this. I set up an interview to talk with somebody else, but I was talking with Chris on the phone the other day, because if you want to become a better coach, talk to more coaches, you get better that way. And Chris said something kind of interesting when we were talking, and I was like, well, I'm going to reshuffle. I'm going to move my next guest down the road a little bit. I'm going to bring Chris into this. And kind of the conversation piece is when you have a player that comes to see you, especially, you know, inside of the Forging Player Series, we're talking about players breaking 100, the learning player. That first conversation that they have with a coach is so important. And it's so, as an industry, we do such a bad job. So one thing we want to kind of highlight is the players never ask what it takes. They can, you know, and I think we as the industry do a bad job by asking, oh, okay, you want to break 100, let's go work on some skills. But that conversation of actually what it takes to break 100 is never really had. And Chris kind of brought that up, and he said one of the biggest pieces that drives him crazy is the fact that nobody asked that question. So that kind of got me thinking, and I was thinking with Chris, so how, when a player comes to see you that sets a goal, and again, we'll kind of focus on the higher end today, of breaking 100, what does that first conversation sound like, and how do you kind of guide them on where they need to go?
Yeah, it is a critical piece to a player's development. And everyone gets so wrapped up in not curving the ball or making more solid contact. And yes, those play a critical role, especially in breaking 100, because in the beginning, it's about the shots to the green and reducing those shots to the green. So you have to be able to link those shots together. And it's a technical aspect that they have to make some consistent contact and have some management of their motion. But the reality is they come in and they fix my swing to shoot a lower score. And there is some piece to that puzzle, but yet it's an understanding of how many shots do I actually have to get to break 100 and shoot 99. And it came up in a lesson in a session a couple of weeks ago, and I laid this out on the ground on the range with this player. And really the mentality that creates the fix my golf swing mindset for those players is that they have their idea of getting on the green in regulation is an absolute must. And the truth is it's not. So if you know that you as a 100 shooter, or you want to break 100, you have 61 shots or less to get from the tee to the green. So if you lay out 9 holes at a time, and you do 30 shots on the front nine or 31 on the back nine, let's just do 30 on the front. And you lay out 30 shots and you kind of go, okay, number one's a par 4. So instead of getting on in 2, I can have 3 shots on that hole. And you know what, this is a really long par 5 on 2, and I'm going to use 4, you know, sometimes let me put another ball there. You can literally lay out your 30 balls on the ground and have a much clearer picture and understanding of what does this look like. It takes a lot of the pressure off of you. You know that, you know what, if I get on the green on number 3 with one less shot than I allotted, then I can move that extra shot mentally to another hole that may be playing difficult or that I feel like I might need it on. And that helps the player understand that I don't have to get it on in regulation. And yes, they're working on their golf swing to improve low point control and curve consistency to reduce the amount of dispersion. But just an understanding of strategy and shots that they have to play. And not only that, you know, they could have 37 putts to break 100. So when they get done with that little 9-hole segment, they'll learn how to link shots together, but then go to the putting green with one ball. And they have 37 putts. They start with their first putt outside of 20 feet. And a simple way to do this is if you have your first putt on odd holes outside of 25 feet, and then on even holes, you have it between 10 and 22 feet, and you alternate those, you have 37 putts to use. How far into that 18-hole segment of your practice with one ball putting to different holes can you make it with 37 putts? Make that the game. That, and there's a lot of drills that go into you being able to perform that, and skills to develop, just like there is in reducing your dispersion and controlling your low point. But the understanding of here's what I'm trying to get better at, and here's how I move the needle to shoot a lower score, is changing the game of how you practice and how you end up creating that environment.
Wow, this is revolutionary. So you're actually going to use performance on the golf course as the cornerstone of how I train.
Whew. Absolutely.
that is so not done all the way to the tour level. It absolutely amazes me on what we do and what we understand. And another way to kind of think of that is if you have actually 1.5 extra shots, tee to green, or, you know, tee and on the green, you have 1.5 extra shots per hole if you want to break 100. So now par 4s become par 5.5s. Par 5s become par 6.5s. It's another way of thinking about the numbers we just talked about, 61, 38, and how to break 100. So again, starting to learn to game plan, I love. never too early to start to learn to play the game and learn where I can put myself in positions to keep certain numbers away or maybe accentuate good stuff. And I think, you know, kind of just speaking for myself and my son, who's starting to play golf, he's now shooting low 80s and he's setting that parameter or his goal now of breaking 80 consistently and kind of getting that, become an advanced player. That concept of, okay, to break 100, it's very mushy. You don't really understand it. But when you really sit down and say, these are my shots, here's how to do it. Now I have control. Now I have understanding. Now I can change my game plan where necessary. And again, we're giving them the skills to play golf instead of giving them the skills to stand on a tee box with a box that tells them what they're doing right and wrong. So again, just a different way of looking at it. And for me, I think, what do you see when you have this conversation with the player and as they start to game plan and start breaking 100, how do you see the retention rate of that student for you as lessons, but more so them just staying in the game of golf?
Well, the retention and them staying in the game really is because their interest is not so much on the technique of the golf swing as it is we set goals in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. And that, let's say we do have those 61 golf balls that you can use to play those 18 holes for shots to green or those 30 shots in 9 holes. And they're practicing that way and they get there and they're able to do it, let's say 3 times, because that's the goal in a row, then we reduce the ball count. So then they have to do it with one less ball or 2 less balls while they're building their skill and technique and low point control and aspects of the swing.
Yeah.
Or motion for short game. But they're practicing differently. They're seeing immediate results on the golf course because now their mindset's changed.
Yeah. I'll give you probably one of the funny stories. I've probably said this in the past. Maybe I haven't, maybe I haven't. When I was coaching collegially at a Division II college, we played in South Carolina. I had a player in the practice round on a short par 3, 105, 110 yards, water 3/4 away around the green, room left, practice round, dumps it in the water, goes up to the, like all my players, I always want them to hit from the, you know, the ground under repair or the drop area so they can, if they have to use it during the year, hits it to about 3 feet, kind of make, you know, would have made par. First round, dumps it in the water, goes up to the drop zone, hits it to about 4 feet, makes par. We play 36 in the first day, circles back around, dumps it in the water again, you know, 5 hours later, drops it in the drop zone, knocks it up to 3 feet, taps it in. The second day we come out there, I happen to be on the tee box, and she looks and she goes, what do you think I should hit? I looked at her in complete seriousness, and I said, how far is it to the drop zone? And she just kind of looked at me, and I was, how far of a shot is it to the drop zone? She said, like a 20-yard chip. I go, well, there's your shot. And to her credit, she hit it to the drop zone, hit it to about 5 feet, made the putt, made par. Wow. So that's kind of a crate. Now, she played terrible, and she was out of it, so she was more accepting, because I imagine if she was winning, she would not have played that shot. But to her credit, that was her understanding. My goal is to score, and it's not how pretty it needs to look. And I think as a 100 player, we're watching these guys on TV. We're reading golf magazines, which you really need to stop, in my opinion. But we're reading golf magazines. We're watching the Golf Channel. We're watching all these swing advice and, you know, do this, get another 10 yards. Really what we've got to start to do is come up with a game plan, understand the game plan. When we, like you said, if our shot count 61 is too low and we're having 66, 67 shots, we know we've got to bring that shot count down. So we use performance as our baseline, and then we can kind of create from that is a much better playing field than actually just trying to create skills and hoping those skills fill gaps for me to get better.
Well, and how you bring that shot count down is important. Hitting a 7-iron 35 times in a row is not going to bring the shot count down. Being able to hit a tee shot, then pull, let's say you hit hybrid on the first hole, and learning to link those shots together, learning to change your ball position or not practice off a flat lie on the range all the time, learning to know that after that hybrid, you're going to hit a pitching wedge a three-quarter length swing because that's about the distance you normally have in. And you practice that way in order to develop those skills and put more time between shots, put more time between hitting the hybrid versus hitting the eight iron on the next hole. And that if you link three holes together or nine shots or six shots, whatever your ball count is for whatever segment, today we're talking about 100 shooter, then if you link three holes together of good quality shots, or maybe you start with two, you got to start with what your skill level can adapt to, but it has to be hard enough that it gives you some conflict. It gives you some disturbance in what you're doing. So you're really paying attention and trying, and it's not too easy. So if you link those two holes together, then you go over to the putting green and you drop a ball at 6 feet and you go, okay, I got to make a 6-footer, and you make it on the first try. Then you can go back and play the next three holes and try and link them together. Or you might be over there for 15 or 20 minutes trying to make that 6-footer, and you stay over there until you make it, because that puts enough time between the shots. And then you have to go back and you have to recall some of those skills. You have to recall some of that process that you go through to get your mind back oriented on playing the game.
So adding variance to training and just not being a machine and hitting one shot for an hour and a half. That's wow, man. But again, I love it because again, what we're trying to do, you know, everything we do inside of GameForge, everything we do inside of Fuel, is we are trying to bring performance to you. And again, if we train correctly, if we understand goals, performance is achievable. If we're always, you know, I think it was Yogi Berra is one of my favorite quotes. If you don't know where you're going, you'll never get there. That's a lot of the way we train inside of golf. We don't really know where we're going, and we're never really going to get there because we're just doing. We're hoping that X and Y creates where I'm trying to go. It might, but probably not. I'm working on pieces that are not getting me to where I want to go. So I think, again, for that beginning player, having an understanding inside of performance, training-wise, I love what you're talking about, saying let's segment a couple holes together, let's hit some shots, let's move about the shots, let's just don't sit there and hit seven irons, I think are great. So I guess, we're already about 15 minutes. We're going to have to close this down. So what I'm going to kind of give you, Chris, here is I'm going to give you a closing word on this, and then go ahead and tell us where they can find you. Via on the internet, websites, Instagram, and all that good stuff, and then we'll get out of here. So I'll let you round out the interview and give us your credo to find you.
So I would encourage everyone to understand what moves the needle in your scoring, your individual makeup of how you shoot a score, how many shots it needs to take you for your player level to get to the green, and the things you can do to move that needle, and how many putts you should be having to be able to reduce that number. So obviously Fuel and GameForge are a big piece of that. And then as far as connecting with me, my website is chrisgeorgegolf.com. You can reach me on Instagram at chris_george_golf. And you can reach me at Twitter, chrisgeorgegolf.
Awesome. So I've really enjoyed this, Chris. I'm going to bring you back for other segments. I have a new podcast coming that's just going to be kind of interesting coaches in golf. And we're going to sit down and have a long discussion. So maybe sometime in February, let's get together. You can even do it at my house. We'll do some adult libations.
Very good.
All right. Sounds good, Chris. I appreciate your time. And all right, boys, we're back here. And that, I really enjoyed that. Chris, I got to know a few years back. Really, really smart guy and really does things differently, kind of what we just talked about. I love how he kind of sets up practice. So, Mark, what were your thoughts on what Chris had to bring to the table?
He's got what I love is we kind of know what you have to do, ball striking, putting. Yeah, you had 60-ish shots to green, more than 36 putts, not a whole lot, but, you know, 36, 37, 38 putts. Can you go simulate that in practice? Yeah. Can you, and again, if you break down to nine holes, you got 30 shots to get to nine holes. You know, can you do that? Are you practicing enough of those kind of 30, 40, 50 yard shots where you're not hitting the green and you're around the green, just trying to get it on the green and two putt? But I loved how he took it back to, can we practice to actually improve what we're trying to improve?
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, He really, you know, I think what we're going to start to see throughout this year with all these podcasts, performance first, what does it take to perform? Backfill, right? That's what we got to figure out, where I think the current model of most coaching is teach you skills and let's pray that affects score and performance. So, you know, kind of what we see inside of GameForge, what we're going to do is really flip that model. Gareth, Jamie, anything else you want to fill in on that interview with Chris, other than my beautiful looks and great voice?
I thought he spoke really well, and it was quite refreshing to hear that take on performance. And I think he hits nail on the head throughout that. And I think if people can listen to that and take some of that into their own coaching, they're going to do well.
Yes, Gareth?
I think Jamie's missed a career as a politician.
Almost sounds like a guy that wasn't paying attention.
I guess I could be like 78,000th in line right now.
I love what Chris said, and as Martin and Jamie have already said, you know, he gets it. He gets it. We're trying to help people to generate certain skills, understand performance differently, think about the game of golf differently. And when we change players' concepts, we change their behaviors. We change how they view golf as a game, as a sport. And I think there's too much of range perfection. I'm going to learn to hit 10-7 irons in a row, 162 yards through the air. That's not going to happen. You're not a robot. You better be able to hit a 7 iron 130 yards on the branch of a tree and get to scoot up onto a green or around the green. So you can recover a bogey or make bogeys. So it's play the sport, get to a golf course, take the skills, you know, expand upon those skills and have fun doing it. There should be a lot of experimentation and freedom and fun when we're doing these things. It shouldn't be technical perfection, but thereby conceding the ability to play the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. And we'll wrap this up again, breaking 100. You do that, I think you're in the upper, 70 percentile of all golfers. I mean, it's that line is not the easiest line to cross for a lot of golfers. But as you start your journey from where you're beginning here, as you're moving up throughout the Forging Player Series, what you'll really see is it is really exciting that we can give you the exact numbers and things to think about and performance goals to go reach your next level. So as we wind this show down, I'm going to give everyone a kind of a closing thought, and as well as go ahead and plug contact information and any of that you want to provide to our listeners. So we'll start with Jamie Donaldson. Let's wrap this puppy up.
Well, I think if you want to learn aim point and the aim point speed and distance control, that's a great start for you. So you can get hold of me on jamie@aimpointgolf.co.uk. I'm on Instagram as Aimpoint Golf Europe, and I try and put some interesting drills on there for people. Both are good mediums to get in touch, and start there from my point of view. Get rid of the three putts.
Nice. Gareth McShay.
Do something different. If you're currently not breaking 100, whatever you're doing is not working. So do something different. That means, you know, what Jamie's saying, learn to go by. Everybody's obsessed. The driver's so important. We know that statistically, but everybody is obsessed with being a driver. Hey, you can't beat the golf course with driver only. You better be able to two-putt from 50 feet now and again if you're going to shoot these numbers. So mix it up a bit. Try different things. Experiment. Have some fun, and you'll learn as you go. And Aimpoint Golf Ireland if you want to find me on Instagram.
Nice. Mark Sweeney.
Yeah, I mean, I love to have fun and experiment. You know, most people want to go out and just hit crazy shots and try to figure out how to move the ball around and advance the ball down the field of play. Obviously, the whole game of golf is just doing that quicker and quicker and quicker. And then putting is important. Practice your putting. It's not going to dramatically change your score in the beginning, but it will save you a lot of pain if you could just read the green properly and then get a little bit better at speed. You don't have to go make a ton of birdies, and you're not going to make a ton of birdies if you're shooting over 100. You're going to make no birdies, but you just want to kind of get your speed better, get three putts out of there, just to make your life easier on yourself. You know how to get a hold of me, @aimpointgolf on Instagram or through the GameForge Instagram.
Nice. And then Brian Bailey. Yeah, whatever. You can find me. But I really want to encourage people again. I've had the good fortune of working with my son during COVID where he was shooting 120, 130. Now he's starting to break 80, you know, over a couple of years. If you focus in on what's important and try to train and have fun playing golf with those goals in mind, it is pretty amazing with a good game plan and just a little bit of ability, whether it's natural ability or you've worked hard to create some sort of ability on the golf course, you can break 100 pretty quick. And that is a goal. I think if anybody's looking at breaking that is very doable in the not so distant future. So I want to thank everyone for joining us in the hunt. Some exciting pieces coming up starting in February, which is next week. I will be, Gareth, myself, and Mark Sweeney will be kicking our own podcasts. And maybe we'll challenge Jamie Donaldson to join us. And we're going to do our own podcast. We'll release them basically every Monday, give or take, depending on crazy travel schedules. But every Monday, we're going to release a new podcast individually. So be watching that inside of the Fuel Podcast Network, as well as join us at videos at mygameforge.com. Lots of really great performance pieces and great stories and just golf nonsense. So make sure you join there. And we look forward to bringing you more in the hunt. So if you have questions, concerns, you want us to get rid of Jamie Donaldson from the podcast, whatever that is, you can reach us at My Game Forge, either the Instagram or you can send emails. Thank you so much. And we look forward to bringing you more information here in the coming weeks. Thank you. This has been a Fuel production.